Okay, so it's Mike Harlan coming to you today. And guess what? Brian Brown is nowhere near us. But
where is he?
Well, I don't know. But that was Keith Getty, by the way. But we are not in the B.B. McKinney studios. We're actually
in the belly of a rehearsal studio,
which this is called Soundcheck. Is that right?
No, S-I-R.
This is there are basically two places that all the Christmas shows that go out are currently rehearsing. So Michael McDonald is in that room right now.
He's in that room.
Yeah, everybody's just along here doing their Christmas shows.
So let's go get him and see if we can get a podcast with Michael McDonald.
Okay. That's a much more fun interview.
Well, if you've got to be next to somebody, you might as well be Michael McDonald. So by now you probably can tell who my guests are. We're really grabbing this in a break during their Christmas show rehearsals, which are going on right now. And this is Keith and Kristen Getty. So welcome back to Worship Life. You've been with me on Worship Life multiple times. Is this the first time?
Premiere?
I remember something once a long time ago. I've been off having babies.
Yeah, exactly. And
every time you were about to appear, you got pregnant again.
Anyways. Weird.
No comment. But anyway, so let me tell you why. Thank you guys for carving out. As a matter of fact, as people listen to this podcast, some of the folks listening might have seen the Facebook Live that we posted. When this will air, so it would be last week we posted a Facebook Live. I actually snuck into your rehearsal.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't seem to mind, but did I need copyright clearance on any of that? But anyway, we fired up the phone and did a Facebook Live of your band working on the instrumental.
And they're quite a band.
Also, they're amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And here's what I picked up right away. And we actually got to hear you sing. I got to hear you sing a new song that you'd written since last Christmas. So, but here's the thing I noticed about the rehearsal just now. Y'all just have fun doing this. And your band, y'all play together all the time. You've been on the road now on a fall tour, now getting ready for a Christmas tour.
Yeah.
And we got a few new extra faces this year.
And you've got some new faces.
Yeah, and then one missing face because Deborah, our violinist, is off having a baby this
week. So
but that's an excuse. That is not a reason to not be in the tour. The baby will have arrived in the world. She could be back on the road by Wednesday.
Yeah, anyway.
So let's talk generally about the tour, and then we'll talk specifically a little bit about it. But I've got to start here because you and I, Keith, we were just talking about, we haven't seen each other in several weeks now.
Several months we haven't.
We saw each other at the same conference.
We hadn't been speaking like since back in the beginning. I think we had a conversation since the spring.
At me or something?
No. Is this like a sort of a Baptist superiority thing you have? you kind of don't feel you can tell.
Guys, I'm really glad I can bring you both together today.
Okay, that's good.
So the first thing I would say is now that you've got 2 months of looking back on the Sing Conference this year, just give me two or three sentences on that, both of you, because it was 8,000 of your closest friends.
The singing was it. To be called Sing, I think it accomplished that. Lots of wonderful singing, lots of great thoughts on singing, lots of new relationships developed on the topic of singing. And as a personal note, you know, the first Sing Conference last year, I was really sick with the pregnancy. And so I literally just popped in for the moments I had to be there. And then I was like in a dark room or eating somewhere and in between. So this year to me, it was almost like the first Sing Conference for me. So I just enjoyed just being able, the hanging out in between things.
It was amazing.
Then just being able to be more cognitive for certain moments. It was great.
And the thing is, you couldn't hardly find anyone that could preach to come to this conference.
We asked.
And Ravi and John MacArthur and J.D. Greer and Ligon Duncan and David Platt and
John Piper
and Paul Alistair, Tripp.
Yeah, you know, just Alistair Begg,
Alistair Begg, Tim just Keller. A few. Tim Keller. Tim Keller. Yeah.
I even managed to get J.I. Packer by video.
Jim Packer was amazing.
Wasn't that special?
It was our joy, Lifeway's joy, to simulcast the events.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Maximize the opportunity for those voices to be heard.
So it's like amazing. 140 countries and...
I didn't know there was 140 countries.
140 countries. And then we didn't have the North Pole or the South Pole, but we virtually had the rest of the world watching this conference.
Yeah. And we got to work on those poles.
I know. I don't know. The internet's not all that great up there.
Yeah.
But we had I don't know. The estimate would be something between 125 or 150,000 people that were watching it. Mm-hmm. Almost all the time. And that was Lifeway's simulcast team, Drew Porterfield. And but the joy for us is the content is so amazing. And it's a message around singing and the place worship and singing has in the life of a disciple and in the health of a church. And all of that in the Sing book that you guys did that's now been out a couple of years now.
Right.
So anyway, I had to say something about that conference. And next year, real quickly,
Keith? We're so grateful. But that you would. Next year's conference is 19th to 21st of August.
Yeah.
It's on the life
of a little bit earlier than this last year.
And it's moved to the Opryland. And part of that is to incorporate more people, to also have everybody under the one roof. And also you can make it a slightly, we can actually save people a little bit of money because it's just slightly less expensive to go there. But it allows us to create on many, many more events all linked. So it's, we're going through the life of Christ. Basically, we're having a pre-conference on the Sunday. We're trying to get everybody in for. We're starting an annual thing called the annual Nashville Hymn Sing, which will start on the Sunday night at the Grand Ole Opry, and a bunch of events on the Sunday. Then Monday goes through the Incarnation. Tuesday, incarnational things. Tuesday is really salvation-related stuff, and Wednesday, the cross and resurrection. Then Wednesday looks at the Great Commission and the return of Christ. And we're so excited. I mean, we got... From a musical point of view, as we've always talked about, to get to sing through the life of Christ is a beautiful thing. For example, Monday night, we're doing a number of different events. So the musical side, you've got at the Grand Ole Opry, and then Monday night, you've got our new Christmas show going on twice, 90 minutes. So you can go to see that. There's for 4,500 people each. Then we're doing also, there's two performances of a 90-minute version of Handel's Messiah, where you can sing right through Handel's Messiah.
Yes.
Then we've got another thing we're doing, hopefully with Black Gospel. Then we're hopefully starting a jazz room as well, just to encourage jazz, folk music, ethnomusicology, lots of different broader musical formats. Tuesday night, Monday... As I say, Tuesday takes us much more in a classical journey, up to Christ's sufferings and death, which Dr. MacArthur is doing. We got some extraordinary musicians. We got this quartet put together on the classical side to do Haydn's Last Seven Words of Christ, which is led by David Kim, and it's going to be extraordinary. Tuesday night, the seminars are the best seminars we've ever done. We've actually got 12 types of seminar, and really our brand. So we've got a Psalms brand. We've got things like doxology and theology, which is Matt Boswell's thing, is now becoming a brand as part of the conference, where trying to encourage deep singing among millennial worship leaders, this kind of stuff. And so we're really much more
Matt's
focused.
That's the great guy to do that.
Yeah. One of the huge things for us next year is encouraging choral singing of all kinds.
Yes.
So, the great thing about in the life of Christ is you get the birth, you get the death and resurrection. These are the seasons that even non-choir churches want choirs. So we suddenly have this chance to encourage children's choirs, to encourage the urban church plant, to encourage First Baptist whose choir is declining, to actually get involved in an awful lot of seminars, we've made a huge effort to bring a lot of the world's top choral people together to really get people excited about that. Tuesday night, then we're doing a totally different choral experience again, where everybody gets trucked downtown in these buses. And Tuesday night, we're actually going to be in the Bridgeton Arena, which is becoming the home of the conference in 2021. We're doing a 14,000 people in the round celebrating Christ's resurrection to finish that day with a 2,000 person choir there.
I don't know, Keith.
We've got Johnny Tata that night.
Yes.
Talking about what resurrection will mean to her, and then John Piper finishing that night.
Wow.
So it's going to be really special.
So I want to lead in silent prayer at something. Just let me know. But we'll be around. We will definitely be around. And we're so excited about what God's done with that. But really, what I wanted to talk about, can I move to my subject now?
Please, okay, I'm done. I'm finished. Sorry, everyone.
I wanted to talk about the Sing Christmas Tour that is just about to happen. We just came out of the rehearsal, and you're rehearsing, another couple of days here? Is that right?
Yeah. The Christmas tour began, 8 or 9 years ago?
Yeah, I was wondering.
And it just came together almost accidental-like in that we were at visiting the Cove, and Billy Graham's Cove, and his boys, I've forgotten their names now.
The late great.
They were
all together. It was Bev Shea, Cliff Barrows, and Billy Graham, the three of them.
Oh, wow.
And for a night.
They invited us. It was wonderful to get to do 40 minutes of music, and because it was Christmas time, we thought, we should do some Christmas music. And obviously, as hymn writers, the great carols have always excited us, and we've tried to write some ourselves, and... So we incorporated sort of the Irishness, the carol singing, and that was the first sort of Irish Christmas. And so it's just sort of ticked along these last years and grown and gone to more concert halls and brought more guest artists. And I guess it's been, initially it was also a very refreshing time of the year for us because it allowed us to be more creative in ways that some of the other stuff hadn't. So we did a lot more, Keith did a lot more arrangements, we did a lot more specific things with choirs, we brought more strings in, and we were able to use a lot more guest artists. And so creatively it was very stimulating for us. Then in the last couple of years, this focus on sing and trying to just draw the lens back a little further, and all the fresh partnerships we've made with new writers and different organizations, all thinking and working towards the same with the sing and the congregational singing. We wanted to try and bring the Christmas tour a little bit more underneath that sing umbrella. And so Sing an Irish Christmas, which we did last year. This year is sort of more a transitional year. But I think one of the big inspiring parts of this year was an article that Keith wrote called The 10 Carols Everybody Should Know. Yeah. And this came out of a conversation about American society, particularly. I'm not sure about the UK.
Right. That's right. It might even have been a mainstream radio station when the show within a short period of time, as you know, because the Carnegie Hall thing actually became a conversation at a breakfast you and I had in Nashville, which became
remember
the
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
And then with that, then Kennedy Center offered us a spot, and then public television took notice. So the show, the first year in public television, did about 40 million households, and it was really got a tremendous momentum. So a radio show interviewed us, and they were mocking that this, they weren't mocking, but they were kind of, they were
playful jibing. About it.
They were jibing at us that, you know, this Christmas show is all about the hymns of Christmas and your hymn writers. But they said, according to our recent survey, of the 30 top carols in America, only one is Christian. So they're thinking they're all about Rudolph and Santa and everything else. And so this came out of this. I thought, you know what? This is terrible. Then I went into a church that Sunday and they weren't singing Christmas carols. They were singing dumb songs. And so I went, you know what? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start this thing called the 10 carols that every church should know. The show includes those 10 carols.
Yeah.
And so everybody gets to sing the great carols of the faith.
I love it.
And then we try to get those out, you know, obviously in partnership with folks like yourselves and others, to try and encourage people to sing these 10 carols. Learn them yourself. Sing them to your children and your family. Make sure your kids know them, and then sing them in your churches. And
I want to say this about the the Christmas Sing concert, which I've had the joy of being at. Y'all have been here in Nashville, I think. Have you been here every year of the 8 or 9?
I think we skipped one when I had a baby.
Yeah, I seemed like I was remembering there was one that was missing.
Charlotte's fault. Yeah.
But I've been to a lot of those, and I want to tell you, I love them every time I go. And let me tell you about the qualities of this program. And then I'll tell you a story about last year that I haven't even told you yet.
Okay.
But it's musically amazing. You've got some of the finest musicians in the world.
And we let them go.
They play the strings off those instruments.
Yeah.
And so anyone artistically and aesthetically would enjoy the concert. They really would.
What we hope. So especially the first half, slightly more presentational.
Yes.
We lean into those solos and just to warm people up and to let them just enjoy what they think beautiful
music. And your
music.
Band, and the singers that you have that accompany you are all wonderful singers. The band's amazing. You feature some of the Irish dance that is just such a joy and delight, and that's amazing. And so any person would find the evening just to be delightful, just from an experience, just a cultural experience.
Yeah.
But here's the beauty of the program is you open up the hearts of those that are in the audience to a cultural Christmas experience that is engaging and inviting. There's humor. I mean, Keith's attempt at humor that's in the program. There's some of those moments.
And
that's being kind. But everyone laughs in kind of a poor guy kind of a way.
Yeah,
but anyway. But I want to say to anyone listening to this, if you've got a friend or a family member that's on the outside looking into the Christmas story.
One of the biggest reasons that we've kept doing it, because the opportunity to be able to use music to explain the gospel. And some of the greatest carols do just that. Some of the most beautifully written poetry, richest theology.
So it's almost like it's almost like maybe the term I'm looking for is you're surprised by the gospel. Mm-hmm. You have this glorious experience that's just a delightful evening. The venues are amazing and the band's incredible and all of the wonderful things about Christmas music, and certainly your artistry is on full display. But then the gospel just comes through so powerfully. And last year we had the opportunity with our family to have family members that were part of that evening with us that aren't currently walking and expressing a faith in the Lord. And I couldn't help but notice over the course of that evening, I would look down the row and I would see them singing with you songs they knew from a cultural experience, but had not experienced, or at least had not expressing
hadn't
a faith.
Considered the truth of those words.
And I don't know that we've done a better job as a family of reminding them again of the great truth of the gospel story than what you guys helped us do last Christmas. And I would say to anyone that's listening out there, if the Getty sing Christmas is anywhere near you, get there and find that neighbor, that friend, that, and they would, you would have to, you would have no worries about them having an amazing experience culturally, but you'd also have the joy of allowing them to experience the power of the gospel mm-hmm. in the context of this concert.
The songs. The second half is more like a carol service, similar to King's College, Cambridge, Lessons in Carol Service. So it's a mixture of carols, and then it's just the readings around Christmas, a couple from the New, Old Testament, some from the New Testament. So just, you know, telling the story through the songs, yeah. telling the story through the readings. Some of the places we go to, we have some great speakers coming to give some yes. little thoughts, just a few minutes long. And we have Johnny Erson Tada in L.A., we have Tim Keller in Carnegie this year. Yeah. We have
David Platt
in Kennedy That's Center. Awesome. Paul Tripp in Colorado, Arizona. And then I'll be doing some of the readings. And I know it's called Irish, Sing an Irish Christmas. Now, part of the reason it's Irish is because we're Irish.
Exactly.
But you shouldn't expect that every single song is no. Irish. So you, lots no. of people love Irish music. Some people don't care less. There are Irish
there's
elements, but there's lots of
well.
Things.
Yes. It started off with Carnegie Hall after our national breakfast.
Yeah.
And we decided the Carnegie Hall should be marked by having a legend every year because it's a legendary place. And so that we started to bring these guys in. And so there's quite a mix of them this year. Ricky Skaggs is back. He's never present.
He's great.
He comes every year. John Patitucci and friends this year. So he's bringing a bunch of New York jazzers.
Wow.
New York and New Orleans jazzers.
Amazing.
With us, so it's going to be great. Phil Keggy's also joining us. In the Carnegie Hall. So those two are, and then the second half, the Christmas story is being commented on by Patitucci and Keggy sitting beside each other, just doing little sales.
Playing over some of the readings.
It'll be great. Are you kidding?
Kennedy Center, we got Ricky and Sierra Hull, of course, who's the new, you know, prodigy of the world of bluegrass, and so many of our band this year, we're thrilled to have Andy Leftwich as well as Zach and Maggie, and so many of them are great bluegrass players. And then Trip Lee is also joining us for Kennedy Center. So we have a new version of O Children Come, which has got a rap part in it, which he does. Which
he's
doing. Pretty excited.
Yeah. Please.
We will not be joining him.
Do not get confused about that.
I offered to do the rap, but nobody, no.
Nobody would understand what you were saying.
I get a bad rap. So,
God.
See, this is the humor that we were talking about.
LA.
Dad humor.
LA is Ricky. LA is Ricky.
Yeah.
And then one of our friends from back home lives over there now, Matt Redman. He's coming in for a little ton of Bethlehem.
A guy named Matt Redman, he's written a song or two.
A guy called Pedro Eustache. If you've seen the Hans Zimmer concert shows on television.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful believer from Venezuela called Pedro Eustache. So he's hopefully going to join us on that, which we're really excited about.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think who else. Opening night is in Atlanta. It was Buddy Green's coming to sing Mary, Did You Know, opening night. And then he and Jeff Taylor and Sarah Hull are doing this wonderful trio of bluegrass tunes for the opening night. And the Ricky thing is special this year because of the CMA Awards. So we've created this like 7-minute
tribute. Yeah, he was inducted this year,
so
we're doing
a 7-minute tribute to Ricky Skaggs.
Oh,
for the 5 nights he's there, opening with him singing, then a bunch of different tunes he's won over the years, and then finishing with Christmas Time's a Coming at the end. So it's going to be really, really
So we're hearing music. I bet they can hear the music. It's in the next room. So.
And that's actually probably Michael McDonald.
Well, that's Michael McDonald's Christmas show's rehearsing.
Yeah, stop giving his promotion.
I'm sorry.
We're competing with him in five cities.
I'm sorry.
That's not even true.
Let's go and plug something over there.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what I want to do. We only have a couple more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Give our folks that are listening, because this is going to air in time for right about the time you guys load the bus and leave town.
Right.
This podcast is going to air.
Okay.
So what is the best way for people to find out where you are and to find tickets and get to one of these concerts?
So we have a website, gettymusic.com. Sure. But I know people get tickets in different ways. The concert dates are on our Facebook page.
Yeah. And I meant to say Nashville the last night. Phil Keggy's coming back, but our friend Alison Krauss is joining us to sing the Wexford Carol.
Wow.
And that was going to be cool.
Wexford Carol,
And Krauss, amazing. And remember her and Kristen did the duet of and Krauss, they're doing that together as well. So it'll be great. The two
never done that live.
Really?
You did it once for Ricky's 30th anniversary.
But we had, but not the arrangement that we did in the studio with Charlie.
That's going to be fun. Well, Lifeway Worship will also put links up on our Worship Life and at Lifeway Worship, so people. People can find a way to find you guys. And I want to stress this. The experience itself is a worship experience for any believer that wants to sing the gospel at Christmas. But this is a wonderful opportunity to find a neighbor, a family member, someone that would love an evening in a beautiful venue.
Yeah.
And this is a great way to present the gospel at Christmas, to find yourself at one of your concerts. Thank you for what you do. And we love doing it with you every time we get the opportunity to share. So, hey,
well,
what
so
a treat.
Much,
Tim,
friend.
Thank you. Brian, who? Who was this other guy? Yeah, okay. We do miss Brian Brown. So, but anyway, this is Mike Harlan for the Worship Life Podcast, signing off. Thanking you. Rate us, review us. Do all those things to share what we're sharing here at Worship Life. But most of all, this Christmas, find your way to one of these great venues where the Gettys will be singing. You won't be disappointed. Have a great week. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.